Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show right here on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. And what a special show we have for you today because we got the whole crew together. We got the whole band in the same house today. As always, we've got the one and only, I'm going to say it this week because we're in a Spanish language country, El Jefe. Carter Augustine is here.
That's fair.
I know you're not a big fan of it. I've been trying to scale back my usage of the El Jefe name, but I feel like this week I'm brushing up on my Spanish before we go to Toluca.
Fair. In the spirit of the champions, I'll allow it. Okay. You have your acolytes out there still, though. You set me up with one of your buddies. I'm looking for a car, and he called me El Jefe when he first called me.
I say embrace it, man. I mean, it's getting you car deals. It's, you know, it's making you a celebrity in town. You know,
you can only have a car deal if it's actually emblazoned on the side of the car.
So. Right. I guess so.
And then people just think you're a big Chiefs fan, you know? I mean, it all works. And the other voice you heard there is that the dulcet tones of Matt Lawrence, who's with us. What's up, Matty? How are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing really well. It's great to be in town. It's great to be on the radio with you guys. And it's great to be in the midst of a very good Champions League campaign so far.
Now, Matt Lawrence is usually the voice that I hear when I'm listening to satellite radio worldwide. But you know what? We're podcast on this show as
That's
well.
Right.
So we're worldwide as
exactly.
well.
Exactly.
You could be in Iceland right now. You could download this on iTunes, on Spotify, yeah. on the Sports Radio 810 WHB app.
We're big in Malaysia.
That's huge. We are because of Juan Cousin. That's actually, you thought it was a joke, Matt.
But it's
behind every
joke.
It's
only when he comes on, though.
Yeah. We need to get him on again. I'm going to write that down,
yeah.
by the way.
We're just going to start tagging Cousin. Him. We're going to hashtag Cousin, hashtag Ronaldo and everything.
Yeah, yeah. So as you said, Matty, we're off and running. Champions League is in the books. I'll lay out the menu for everybody today. We will recap what was a stunning performance and historic performance by Sporting KC in leg one of this round of 16 Champions League matchup with Toluca, 3-0 to Sporting Kansas City. We will preview the return game. We'll be heading down to Toluca shortly after recording this podcast and radio show, by the way. And we'll preview that matchup. And also, by the way, the regular season starts just a couple of days after that on Sunday at LAFC. So we're going to get into maybe a little preseason prediction talk as well on the show here today. And we're going to be joined by the man of the match from that game. We all talked about how difficult it was to name a man of the match. But at the end of the day, Gerso had a goal and an assist, had a hand in all three goals. He drew, maybe to some people, the surprise start in that game over Daniel Shalloway and rewarded his manager with that decision. So we're going to talk to Gerso from team training camp. By the way, expectant father Gerso yep. as well, which was a cool part of his goal celebration. So that's all coming up on the show. Let's start with the guys. Sporting Kansas City 3, Toluca FC 0. Before we focus on the problems at Toluca, and there are problems as they dismiss their manager this week, by the way. But before we focus on that, I want to focus on the positives from Sporting Kansas City. Matt Lawrence, you first. Compared to what you expected from a team in their first game of the season versus what you saw on the field, how big of a surprise? What impressed you the most about Sporting Kansas City last Thursday night?
I don't think that I or anybody should be surprised that Peter Vermees knew not only how to set out his team, but had his side thoroughly prepared for the game. I was surprised that, I guess, the team went the whole 90 minutes. I was surprised that Toluca are having to make more substitutions than Sporting KC. I thought the performance was utterly dominating and dominant. I think, what did I tweet out? I wrote it was just a masterclass of not only vision, but preparation, and then players being able to follow a tactical plan. And it goes down to everybody. It's the scouting behind the scenes from Ash. It's obviously Peter Vermees and his coaching team implementing a plan. And then it's the players following it. And they just looked as though they were in mid-season. They looked as though they were at their peak. Let's hope they're not at their peak. Let's hope that there's still plenty more to come. I just thought it was such a convincing performance. I started off by saying I guess we shouldn't be surprised, but I guess we are surprised at how well they performed in their first competitive game. You can play as many training session games, you can play as many non-competitive preseason games as you want. There is nothing that can replicate that first game of the season when the adrenaline is rushing through the body and you assume that players will cramp up in their first game of the season. But the players looked absolutely fit as a fiddle and match fit as well, which is not impossible to happen in your first game of the season. I just thought they made Toluca look bad. Look, we know all the problems that Toluca have at the moment, but Sporting KC were one of their big problems, and they made the side, they made Toluca look utterly reprehensible. They were very, very poor indeed.
Yeah, scintillating performance. And if you go through, I think, to a player, just about everyone was out there. And I think an 8 would be the lowest you'd give someone, because that's how good everyone was. And Matt, I think it went back to what you said about the coaching staff and their scouting obviously had a really good game plan against this Toluca side, who has had problems over the past few weeks. But the ability in their first game to implement everything that they wanted and the players doing exactly what the coaches wanted, that was really impressive to me, and just a really fun watch. And I think it's good for the future of the 2019 season for sure.
You know, you said something, Matt, about we hope they're not peaking right now and that, that they're going to continue to even get better. I will say this, you know, it reminds me of going into last season. We saw Sporting Kansas City get beaten pretty soundly at home in the first game of the year by NYCFC, who at the time looked like the best team in the league. It's also a reminder of how long the season is, because by the end of the season, NYCFC did not look like the best team in the league. So a lot can change from now until the next fall. But what it also, though, tells me is, you know, that was a newly put together Sporting Kansas City team. Whereas last night, 9 out of the 11 pieces had been there all year last year. And even the new pieces in Fontas and Namath had been there for half of a season with these guys. So I do think that it's more fair to expect them to be closer to their peak now than maybe they were at this time a year ago.
Yeah, certainly the peak in terms of maybe gelling together and having a good understanding of each other. But for me, I'm thoroughly impressed with that match fitness, Nate. I've been in that situation. I know that normally it takes 4 or 5 games to really get to the peak of your match fitness. Forget the gelling together. Forget they all know the system. That's a massive positive for SKC, the fact that everybody knows each other. Everybody knows how Peter wants to play. You spoke about NYCFC. Yes, they looked fantastic at the beginning of the season, then lost their manager, and then they lost their way. I think we're all pretty safe and sound and sure in the fact that Peter Vermees will be here at the end of the season, yeah. And until, you know, maybe Chelsea comes calling or somebody like that. I don't see him moving, and I think that just speaks volumes of the performance of what he has brought to this club, to this team, in terms of squad preparation, squad depth. And yeah, I don't think that was their peak, but it was certainly nearing their peak. I thought the performance was so utterly dominating and dominant. I really do. There's not enough superlatives almost for that performance. And Carter said it, everybody in the team performed at a sort of an 8 out of 10 level. The only person who'd say who didn't was Tim Melia, and that's not his fault. It's just the fact that he hardly touched the ball the whole game because the defence was so solid, and in terms of possession, SKC were utterly head and shoulders above Toluca.
I guess all we can judge Melia on is his ability to play out of the back, yeah. Which was good.
Yep.
Carter, what do you think, how soon before we get the first Peter Vermees to Chelsea rumor started.
Here right
we
have
Matt Lawrence.
Right here. Yeah. Right here, hashtag.
I tell you what, Kepa would have come off the sources. Field if Peter Vermees was
ready. Yeah, that's right. True. Nobody's telling Peter Vermees whether they're playing or not.
Sources say. Yeah,
I actually would pay money to see someone try to refuse to come off the field if Peter Vermees was the manager.
Yeah, I think you're getting shipped off the next day.
Peter might actually walk on the field and drag you off by your ear the way your mom used to. You know?
Definitely. You mentioned to Nate that they didn't have as much turnover this year, and that was something that they had talked about a lot in preseason, and I thought that was hugely impressive to be able to implement some things. I think you saw that they pressed really well. Toluca had a really tough time stringing more than 3 or 4 passes together, couldn't get it out of the back when they had goal kicks. I mean, I thought it was really impressive that, all these players know the system, but they're able to tweak a little things here and there, and to do it so quickly in their first game, you would hope they're not at their peak, but it's tough to see a better performance than that, honestly. It is going to be tough to match that performance. It was so good.
Well, one of the things that that we can talk about as we look forward as well is what Peter Vermees has in front of him now. Now the real choices begin. You know, he was asked about the lineup that he was going to play on Thursday, and he said, look, I pretty much can pick whatever lineup I want because we don't have another game for a week, which is the return game down at Toluca. The real decision is going to be after we get whatever result we have in the first leg, we have to weigh that in terms of, okay, now what's the objective going to Toluca, and then how do we manage the roster on Sunday in LA? Because you're not going to be able to play a lot of those guys, right, Matty? You mentioned match fitness. Are we going to see a completely different team in LA that we see in Toluca? And are we going to see the same team in Toluca that we saw this first time around? Does Peter Vermes decide to go more defensive, whatever that means? It's going to be fascinating to see how he decides to react to that 3-0 win.
Yeah, I don't think any of us sitting here right now knows how the players have been affected by that first leg. I think first and foremost, we need to work that out, or obviously the physio staff need to work that out. For me, I think Champions League has to be a priority right now because that's what we're in the midst of. So I would play as strong a team as possible. So I would play the same starting 11 if I could. We then have to see what happens in the second leg in terms of injuries, in terms of how the players deal with the altitude. And then we will hopefully SKC progress. And then we're then dealing with the fact of playing LAFC on the Sunday and then possibly going down to Panama or Toronto on the Tuesday or Wednesday after the LAFC game. So I don't think that Peter probably has an idea in his head right now because he doesn't know what's ahead of him. He knows that he has the LAFC game ahead of the leg down in Toluca, but he doesn't know what's going on after that, apart from the Philadelphia game the following weekend. What Peter does know is that he has an incredibly strong squad. I just looked down quickly at the substitutes bench there. You've got the likes of Kellen Rowe on the bench, the likes of Busio on the bench. And you've got people as well like Jalen Lindsay who aren't even in the 18. Kwaze wasn't even in the 18. He has all those guys at his disposal. I think you play your strongest team in the second leg of the Champions League. You progress and then you see how everybody is in LA after the travelling on the Friday and the Saturday before that LA game. And he is safe in the knowledge that he could pick a completely different 11 and they would be good enough to beat LAFC. I'm not saying that they could beat LAFC, but he could choose a completely different 11 and they would give a good showing against LAFC.
Yeah, that's the difficult part, right? Because in all likelihood, you have such a good lead from this first leg. They've done such a good job at home, kept the clean sheet that they really needed, that in all likelihood, you have another series coming up. So that adds more games right at the start. So they have to go to LA. Then if they can complete this victory against Toluca over the two legs, then they have another midweek game that week, the home opener MLS that weekend, and then another game the midweek following.
And then another game in Denver
the next week. And so the games are just going to be coming so fast here at the beginning of the season. It's a little different than normal, but I think it's a chance to, like Matt just said, show off the depth that this team really does have.
I'm excited because I can't wait to watch these young guys that we got to see a little taste of last year continue to grow as players. I can't wait to see some of the new guys like Botan Barath and Kellen Rowe in some full matches for this team.
There's Rodney Wallace. Well, we see Eric Hurtado. Yeah, there's so many questions.
A lot of exciting things to watch if you get to see that rotation. And we know that you can lose the first game of the season and still, you know, finish tops in the West because it happened last year with Sporting. Not that that's what they want to do, but it just gives them – they know they have some room for error on the MLS side of things. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to get into the crisis at Toluca right now because they are having some serious problems. They backed up their 3-0 loss at Sporting with a 4-0 loss back in Liga MX over the weekend, and then a sacking of their manager as well. We'll talk about all that, and we'll preview this LAFC game, which is a very intriguing way to start the MLS season as well, on the Sporting Kansas City Show right after this. Sporting Kansas City Show continues on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's go ahead and lay it out for you, your radio coverage of SKC Soccer coming up this week. First and foremost, the game on Thursday night is at 9 o'clock in Toluca at La Bombonera, which translates either to the chocolate box or the candy box, depending on which translation form you use on the internet. And we're going to start with an hour of live pregame coverage live from Toluca. Myself and Matt Lawrence will be there. We'll have interviews. We will get you ready for an epic opportunity for Sporting KC as they try to knock off a Mexican side and move on to the quarterfinals of the CONCACAF Champions League. And then we think they will play against the Panamanian team unless Toronto can make a huge, huge comeback in their return leg this week as well. Then on Sunday, at 7:30. And by the way, I'll point out, in case you're wondering, 9 o'clock start time, you must be thinking, well, Toluca must be in the Pacific time zone if it's a 9 o'clock central time kick. Toluca, in fact, is in the central time zone, same time zone as us. So that game is going to kick at 9 o'clock local time down in Toluca, which is interesting because they usually play their games at high noon as a tradition down in Toluca, but not the case on Thursday. Then we are in the Pacific time zone on Sunday, Sporting KC against LAFC in the conference opener, national television game. So we've got the local radio broadcast, the three of us here, myself, Matt, and Carter. 7:30, the kickoff time, and of course we'll have live post game on the final whistle following both of these games as well. So we are your home for these big matches, this big road trip for Sporting Kansas City coming up. And our coverage on Sports Radio 810 of the Champions League is brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. All right, guys, let's talk to Luca first. I mentioned it. We talked a lot about going into it, had been winless in their last five games, had scored one goal. Then they made it winless in six games as they lost 3-0 to Sporting. Then they go to Santos Laguna, and they lose 4-0 over the weekend. And Matt Lawrence, I know you've watched the highlights. Not necessarily terrific goals by Santos. How would you describe what you saw from Toluca in this one?
Inept. Defensively, Toluca were all over the place. We know they've conceded an awful lot of goals. And goalkeeper-wise as well, I thought their goalkeeper did okay at SKC at Children's Mercy Park, but he was dreadful. The first two goals, certainly, that Santos Laguna scored, he was culpable for both of them. Poor positioning, poor goalkeeping, poor handling, whatever you want to say about it. It was pretty dreadful. Then we know that they're ill-disciplined. They had another red card. It was a dreadful lunge of a challenge by their new left back, who'd only just got back into the starting lineup. He got sent off after, I think it was 33 minutes. He was sent off after a VAR review. But
Santiago
it was
Garcia is what you're talking about.
And it was a dreadful challenge. He got sent off. That's the fifth player they've had sent off in their last 11 competitive games. They're
and the manager has been as well.
And the manager too. So we'll add that. That's six. Five players and the management. So six red cards in 11 games. And things went from bad to worse. Santos Laguna didn't really need to try in the second half against 10 men. They won 4-0. And obviously after the game, the following day, we know that the manager, Hernan Cristante, was fired. And I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. I think all of us, the three of us sitting here, Nate Carter, I just think that we wish he maybe could have, they could have held off the sacking until after the second leg. Because we do know that players do get the proverbial kick up the backside when a manager gets sacked. A new guy comes in, whether it's just we assume it will be a part-time, an interim manager. But what the players do know is that there will be guys who want the job permanently sitting in the stands watching the game. So all of a sudden they find an extra percentage or two. They up there. Well, actually, the Toluca players will probably find an extra 10 or 20%. And that will have an effect on this game. Without a shadow of a doubt, it will have an effect on the game. Whether it has an effect on the result, I don't know. But I don't think it will be as easy for SKC as it would have been if Cristante was still at the helm.
Yeah, that's the big question, right? Do they get enough of a boost from the firing of the manager? And I think I'm pretty confident that this, first of all, the Toluca team, they've got one goal in their last seven, is that right? They didn't look like scoring against Sporting KC. And then the other part is they've been shipping goals by the boatload, and I don't know if a new manager or an interim manager can fix that. So presumably Sporting will have some really good chances on the counter, what with them needing three goals. That if Sporting can put one goal away, you got to think that finishes the tie.
Well, it's amazing how fast life comes at you because by everything that I was studying on this Toluca team going into the season was that this manager was on solid footing. I mean, first of all, he's a club legend. He's like their all-time best goalkeeper as a player. By the way, it's as an aside, I think it's interesting. In American sports, a lot of times teams don't want to hire former legends to be their coaches because they know they're going to have to fire them at some point. Maybe it's a little more cutthroat in the world of soccer. They didn't have any, you know, hesitation. That team had made the playoffs four straight years. Just this past season, a year ago at this time, they were on their way to finishing first in the Clausura and making it to the final. And a year later, a bad stretch of games, and he's gone. I mean, this guy was given the authority to go out and bring in some high-priced players. Maybe that's part of the reason that they were quick to drop the hammer on him. But all these guys are, you know, he's an Argentine himself. And he brings in all these players like Gigliotti and Maidana who are players that he clearly has a relationship with. How's it going to affect veteran players like that have been brought in for piles of money that their manager's gone now?
If you're brought in by the manager, you are then worried for your position, especially, as you say, the new players who've come in, especially the nucleus of their players are Argentinian. There was five Argentinian players playing against Santos Laguna. You wonder how that will now be affected by whoever the new manager is. I'm not sure, as this podcast is being broadcast, that we know who the new
interim manager. They haven't made any announcement yet on that.
So, you know, that remains to be seen. There were six Mexicans and five Argentinians playing against Santos Laguna and they lost 4-0. If I'm brought in by a manager and then he's fired 2 or 3 months later, which has happened to Cristante, I'm worried. I'm worried for my future position. I'm worried for my starting position. Yeah, I'm just worried. That's just the fact of the matter. As a sportsman, your affiliation is almost with the coach that brings you in. It's almost not with the actual team themselves, especially with the fact that it's an Argentinian manager bringing in 2-3 very high-profile Argentinian players as well into a Mexican lineup. Will a new interim manager, if he is a Mexican, not quite fancy the Argentinian players as much? I don't know how this is going to... We can't say. It's too early on right now to say how this is going to affect the team. Who's going to be in the starting lineup? We know that Cristante made 5 changes to the starting 11 from the team that played at Children's Mercy Park against the team that played against Santos Laguna on Sunday that lost 4-0. I would envisage a number of other changes. That is why they have big problems, because they don't have a regular back four like SKC always have done over the past 3 seasons. Always been Apara, Beasler, Zusi, Melia in goal, obviously in Cessanovic at left back. And Toluca haven't had that over the last 6 or 7 games. I'm with you, Nate. When I saw this draw and I did my research on Toluca, I was incredibly worried. I didn't see there was any way that SKC... Well, there was a way that SKC could progress, but it would be very difficult. Then they won the first 2 games of the season. I thought, yeah, they're as good as I thought they were. But then since then, that form has spiralled downwards and downwards rapidly. Now I'm not worried at all about SKC going down to Mexico, certainly not with this 3 goal cushion. But there is that little inkling with a new manager. The players do get a little boost with a new manager or an interim manager coming in. As I say, they do know that player or managers who want to take the helm for the future will be watching in the stands as well. And it's just human psychology. They will be trying that little bit harder. Although you hate to say that, as a former professional athlete, I hate to say that. How can they suddenly try harder? It's just a fact. We see it in numerous sports, and it certainly happens in soccer around the world.
Jobs on the line. Yeah. And so they'll be, yeah, you think they'll be trying harder. That brings up the question, and we talked about this a little, Matt, but they had 5 Argentines, 6 Mexicans in the team. This is something that Peter Vermes has talked about a lot in building a team. He and other managers are worried about the cliques that start to develop, and maybe, you know, Matt, as a former pro, you can speak more on this, but it's something that I know Sporting KC has been very cognizant of, and when they bring in players from other countries and maybe the Spanish speakers or whatever, there might be a tendency to hover this way in the locker room versus other guys, and they've been very conscious of that, trying to integrate everyone, and I think you could tell by the way the team gets on the pitch and off the pitch for Sporting Kansas City that they've been able to do that and really create a team atmosphere. It really doesn't look like Toluca has that, and I think that's what has let their manager down here and got him fired.
Yeah, and that does happen in teams, and that will happen in all sports across the board, but it certainly happens in soccer, and it's happened in every dressing room that I've ever been in. Whether it is when I've been at Millwall and Crystal Palace, which are both in South London, whether it's the South London boys hang out together and then the older players hang out together and then the ex-academy players hang out together and then the foreign players hang out together, that's just a fact. I know that when Arsene Wenger was at Arsenal and brought in a number of French players, initially there was cliques. There was cliques of the French players and cliques of the English players. And to eradicate that, Arsene Wenger said, this is just an English-speaking dressing room. And he made the French players learn English as quickly as they could so that there couldn't be French-speaking in one corner, English in the other. And again, natural human psychology, as the English speaking players, you're worried about what the French players are saying about them and you can't understand what they're saying and vice versa. At least if everybody's speaking in English together or in Spanish together or French together, whatever the language may be, at least bare minimum you can hear what everybody's saying. There's no hiding behind that language barrier. And you're absolutely spot on, Carter. You looked at that Toluca side and you can envisage cliques in the dressing room and there was nothing gelling together on the field, even down to the fact of they wanted to implement a relatively high press, but they never once went together.
Yeah.
Three would go together, then there was a big gap, and then another four would go 10 seconds, or maybe not 10, but a couple of seconds later. Whereas you compare that with SKC, the minute one guy goes, that triggers everybody else and everybody implements the high press together. Didn't happen with Toluca. It's far too easy for SKC to play through them. There definitely are splits in the dressing room, and you could see that because of the massive splits on the field as well. And whether an interim manager who, as we say, hasn't even been named yet early on in the week, just before this SKC second leg down in Toluca, whether a new manager can come in and stop those clicks happening almost straight away and get the team gelling on the pitch, I think that will be very, very hard. It will just be down to personal and professional pride of those players. And we will see, I'm pretty certain, a side that is a lot better than we saw at Children's Mercy Park. Whether that's good enough to overturn a three-goal deficit remains to be seen. That would be very tough for them, but it will definitely be a better team we see on the pitch.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Gerso Fernandez, as he was the man of the match in Sporting KC's 3-0 win over Toluca right after this. And the Sporting Kansas City Show continues here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. There you hear the goal from the one and only Gerso, who was the man of the match in Sporting Kansas City's first leg matchup against Toluca. He had a goal. He had an assist. He was just a nightmare for the right back for Toluca FC all game long, and he joins us on the show now. Hello, Gerso. How are you, man?
I'm good, Nate. What about you?
We're doing great, and we had a great time watching you play the other day. How fun was that for you to be a part of that that scintillating game against Toluca?
Oh, thank you, first of all. And, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Like, first game home, we always want to look good, play good, do the best that we can so our fans can enjoy the game. And the game was awesome for the whole team.
Gerso, were you surprised at how well SKC performed, and were you surprised at how almost easily you beat Toluca? Toluca are a very good side, and you made them look very, very ordinary.
Well, yeah, we have been working like the last five weeks to be ready for this game. We knew that Toluca has a good team, and they were in the middle of the season, so probably they could be better in on the fitness side, they could be better than us, but we knew playing home and the way that we like to play, we could have a good game, and we did it.
So you mentioned the fitness, which I think was everyone's first question, and that's usually the advantage that Mexican teams have in this competition, them playing a number of games before you guys get started. It was kind of surprising to us that Toluca made the first three substitutions of the game before you guys even made a substitution. What do you think? Where do you think the credit goes in terms of how well you guys were able to be fit and ready for this first game against a team that had already played seven games in their season?
Well, it's all the way that the staff plans our trainings every day. That's kind of the key that help us to be so fit, and the effort that everybody puts in the training, that's the other key that help us to be ready for the game against Toluca, even knowing like we only had 5 weeks practicing together and they were in the middle of the season.
We're visiting with Gerso Fernandez. As I mentioned, he had a goal and an assist in that game against Toluca. And let's go through those plays right now, Gerso. First off, the assist. It was a beautiful ball from Matt Beisler, and a great run by you to set things up. Take me back to what you remember about that, and how do you and Matt Beisler both know in a situation like that that you need to make that run and that he's going to play you that pass?
So we knew like Toluca probably could play high pressure, so we would have a lot of space behind them to run, and sometimes just run to make them drop and see what they do when I make the run, and then in that one I make the run and none of them drop on time, and Beisler played a perfect ball for me, and then the rest was history.
Gerso, how good was it to score that first goal of the season for you? Is it very important to get off the mark to score a goal as quickly as possible in the season?
Yeah, it is. It gives me a bust of confidence and to keep working and helping the team. Of course, the most important think was the victory of the team and the way that the team played. But it's always good when you have a chance to score and you do it. It's always good for your morale and everything else.
I'm curious, Gerso, just talking about the perception around the league, and there's a lot of hype coming into this Champions League this year about MLS teams, but it seemed like you guys were ranked kind of lower on people's hype watch just because you're up against a Mexican team. Do you guys see any of that from the outside, and did you maybe use that, or do you even pay attention to it at all?
I did not pay attention. I did not pay attention to it at all. But we know what we can do as a team, and we play and we practice together every day. So we knew even if people were thinking that Tulu could be stronger than us, but we knew what we are capable as a team, and we never doubt on us. So for us, we never started behind.
All right, Jer, so you got to tell us about the goal celebration. Tell us everything.
So my wife, she's pregnant, and that's a celebration. At least in Europe, a lot of players do it when they have their wife pregnant. It's to get when they score, to put the ball under the jersey. And actually, I thought about it before the game, and I thought it'd be a funny way to celebrate the goal. In case I score, lucky me that I have the chance to score and do my celebration.
And of course, you did a gender reveal on social media, didn't you? Didn't you guys during the off season?
Yeah, we did. After the first leg, when we came back from Scottsdale, we did the gender reveal, and it's going to be a boy. It's going to be a Gerso Jr. coming in July.
Is it really going to be a Gerso Jr.? Is that going to be the name?
Yeah, that's going to be the name, Gerso Jr. Nice. My wife picked it, and I'm glad with the choice that she made.
You know, we've gotten to know your story, Gerso, and all that you've been through as a child yourself, and living in an orphanage, being adopted into a family. So I have to imagine, for someone that's been through everything that you have, the opportunity to start your own family and be a father yourself has got to be incredibly powerful. I mean, it's powerful to any of us, the opportunity to be a father. But what about for you? Can you put it into words? How exciting is this for you, and how much does it mean to you?
Yeah, I think everything that happened on my past has been things that have helped me build my personality and the person that I am today. So I think with all I went through on my past, I think I'm ready for this new adventure of being dad, and I think I'm ready for it. I think everything's going to be good, and hopefully GJ comes with a lot of health, and hopefully I can give him what I didn't have as a kid, but at the same time help me to be the person that I am today. So I'm glad for that. But as a father in the future, I want to give him everything that I can.
You know, when you say that, I want to be able to give him the things I didn't have as a kid. I have a brother-in-law who basically was raised without a father. And when he became a dad, he had a list of things. I'm going to do this for my kids. I'm going to do this for my kids, because I didn't have that as a kid. Is there anything special that you really are excited to do with your son that maybe you didn't get to do when you were a kid?
Yeah, it's essentially be part of his life, like being always there for whatever he needs, like be a real dad for him, so he can look at me as someone that he can learn something with me, and we can stay together strong and rely always on each other, and whatever he needs to talk or help, he knows that I will be there for him.
That's really powerful stuff, Gerso. We're incredibly excited for you, and so happy that you found a home and a family here in Kansas City, and we hope you feel like everybody in Kansas City is a part of your family now. Before we let you go, I want to ask you about playing at altitude in Toluca. Do you know what the highest elevation you've ever played at? Have you ever played in a place of high elevation? Maybe, I know you've played in Denver, Colorado, for example, but does any place stick out to you that you've played at before?
No, I think Denver, Colorado has been the highest I have played in my career so far.
So what do you think? What are you anticipating? How do you think it's going to be when you play in Toluca at 8,750 feet on Thursday?
So yeah, we are getting ready for that, and we have been practicing here in Albuquerque. And the first day, everybody was kind of a little bit struggling because it was the first day. The body was adapting to the altitude, but today we practice again, and I feel like everybody's pretty much adapt to the altitude, and we can perfectly match the game of Toluca, even if we are not used to playing altitude as they are. But now practicing here in Albuquerque, that will help us a lot. So sure. I don't think it's going to be that big of a difference.
Just so the fact that SKC are obviously three goals ahead going into this game, does that affect the mentality of the players, or does it change the game plan at all? Or do you all tell yourself this is a nil-nil game going into this, and you treat it as you would any other game? How does that differentiate?
Yeah, so we know we have that good advantage, but starting the game on Thursday, we will forget that and just play like if it was 0-0, because that's the only way that we can think and approach the game, so we can in the end be smiling because we are through the next season, the next phase. So it will be important for us to just look at this game like just a normal game, do what we can do best, and forget what happened in the first game, and just try do what we know we can do as a team.
And Jersel, kind of likewise, Toluca fired their manager after this past weekend. I'm curious, have you ever been in a situation where you had a manager change during your season, and do you think that'll affect the Toluca team and make them a little different from when you guys played them here in Kansas City?
Yeah, actually I had a similar situation in Portugal when I was, my team was, we were playing the second division, and our coach was fired, and we had the interim coach stepping up, and the first game I remember we played away and we lost like 3-0. We had players getting sent off, and everything was really bad. But then after that, I remember we didn't lose any more games, and we end up being champions. So wow. That means, like, I don't know how the players of Toluca will face this phase, but we got to be ready, because sometimes that's a burst for the players to give it even more for the new coach to show them what they can do. So we got to be ready for that.
Well, that is certainly a good reminder that we've got to be ready to go on Thursday night, and we know you will be. Jerso, thank you so much for the time. Congratulations on the upcoming baby, and good luck on Thursday night in Toluca.
Thank you, guys. It's always a pleasure be having this opportunity to talk with you guys. And, well, I'm just happy. Thank you, guys. Hopefully we can see you guys soon.
Okay, we'll see you, Jerso.
Yeah, thanks, Jerso.
Thanks, Jerso.
That is Jerso Fernandez back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and on the podcast to wrap things up after this. Back to wrap things up on another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show right here on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Pucati along with Carter Augustine and Matt Lawrence. And our thanks to Jerso for joining us in the last segment. I don't know about you guys. To me, powerful stuff listening to him talk about the opportunity to be a father when he really didn't have that when he was growing up.
Yeah, good questioning, Nate, because that was awesome. And you could tell, even in his second language, that he could get, I guess, maybe third language. I shouldn't speak for him, but that is going to mean a lot to him. And I liked the answer where you asked if there's anything specific, and he was just like, just being there. And and whenever he needs to lean on me, that was really powerful.
Exactly. Not material things. Not taking him somewhere, you know, not taking him to the football or taking him to the basketball or anything like that. It's just being there and, you know, being there for your child. And obviously he knows it's a boy as well. And I must admit, every time I listen to Jerso speaking, I just envisage him smiling as well. Yeah. Just that big beaming smile. He has it, lots of reasons to be happy as well, but he's overcome a lot and he's just like one of the happiest characters I've ever been around. Everything's positive. He's optimistic about everything and you know, that transcends itself onto the pitch at times as well. And right now he's in the form of, I don't want to say in the form of his life, but he's certainly playing very well and it showed in that first leg against Toluca, and long may that continue.
Yeah, that's the crazy part, right? Is from his background, you feel like so many people could have a different outlook on life. And he mentioned it, he doesn't want his kid to lose some of the perspective that he gained, because he said it's made him into the man he is today, which is just incredible that he has such an optimistic view on the world.
One of many sporting Kansas City players for whom it is so easy to root, Jurso. All right, let's move on, guys. We haven't talked much about the season opener in MLS at LAFC. I started digging into this a little bit, and really a couple of interesting things that stood out to me. Of course, I think we'll remember the Decision Day matchup between Sporting KC and LAFC last year. I'll remember it because I got a selfie with Will Ferrell after the game. And I mean, that's, you know, that's hashtag winning right there. But also, Roger Espinoza, one of the goals of his career, in a career season for goals and assists for him, he just had an absolute smash of a goal in that game. First place was on the line to close out the Western Conference regular season. Sporting took it in that game. The other thing that stands out to me about LAFC versus SKC is LAFC lost one game in their home stadium in their inaugural season, and that was to Sporting Kansas City. Now, the shoe might be on the other foot this time, guys, because that was an LAFC team coming off of a big matchup in the U.S. Open Cup, so they fielded a lot of backup players in the starting 11. Sporting Kansas City is going to be the team coming off of a big competition this time around.
And we saw in that game, once Carlos Vela came on the field, it was such a drastic change for LAFC. Yeah. Now, the question is, he got hurt in their last preseason game and limped off. And
yeah, he came off early, didn't he? 52nd minute, he came off.
And so at the time of this podcast, there's still questions about his fitness level. So that would be obviously a huge boost for Sporting Kansas City if he can't play. What a player he is.
Exactly. The guy's one of the best players in the MLS. I don't think there's any arguments about that. That's factual. He's one of those top players are right up there with your Ibrahimovic's, your Wayne Rooney's, and any number of players from the SKC side as well that you could add to that list. If he's not playing, it's a massive positive. For me, the negatives for SKC are obviously sort of that after the Lord Mayor's show. And if they've progressed, which we hope they do, through this the two-legged affair against Toluca, it's firstly whether any of the players who have played over those two legs are fit enough to play against LAFC, how that altitude that Nate and Jurso spoke about, how that has affected the players, which is the starting 11. I agree with what Nate's saying. It's almost a complete flip of what happened at the back end of last season. It's hard to talk about the game almost because we don't know who's going to be in that starting lineup for SKC. What we do know is those good players for LAFC. We do know what a tough place to go the stadium is there at LAFC. We know what great support they have. And we also know it is the opening day of the season. Not only the opening day of the season, but also the opening game at their home stadium as well. It's going to be a very tough matchup, even if SKC hadn't have had those two legs as well. I think you go there, and if you take a point after those two legs playing in the Champions League, it's a good result.
That's the big question, too, is it's going to be their first game. So we've been talking about how would SKC fare against Toluca. SKC will have two games that they've played with this 2019 iteration. Obviously, the altitude is going to be such a huge factor that maybe there won't be the continuity there, but will LAFC be able to gel as quickly in their first game as SKC did, because they've had some turnover. No more Benny Failhaber in their side, bringing in some new players. I saw that they just signed a QPR defender on loan earlier this week. I would assume it's too early for him to get in the side, but maybe not. Does Vela play? A huge youth international prospect, Josh Perez, is over there now. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of questions about this LAFC side as well, and so I'm curious their first game. But it should help the fans, right? Though they'd be wetting all offseason and should be pretty raucous out there at the Bank of California.
You mentioned two of the mainstays for him last year, Benny Failhaber and maybe Laurent Simon, who they actually sent off in the middle of the season a year ago. Benny Failhaber, after the season was over, they basically declined the option on his contract. Now he's with Colorado. But the nucleus of that team, you know, Rossi, Diamande, Vela, Zimmerman, Lee Wynn, those guys are all back. And One of the names I'm going to find really interesting to monitor this year for them is Andre Horta. This is a guy that they brought in as a big-name midseason acquisition, trying to kind of follow that same model of Atlanta United, of bringing in a big-name player in his early 20s, seeing if you can play him for a couple of years in the United States and then, you know, sell him on to a bigger club. He never got his footing last year. He never was able to pick up exactly what Bob Bradley wanted from him in the midfield. There were a lot of comments from players like Benny Failhaber and Lee Wynn about how difficult it is to grasp everything that Bob Bradley wants from you as a midfielder. Through half of a season and an offseason now, will a young player with that much upside be able to make his mark for Bob Bradley this time around?
He certainly should be able to. If he's as good as people think, and Bob Bradley obviously thought he was, to bring him in, pay him the type of money that he's paying him, bring him in as a young DP, it should help him that he's had that time. The same we see with Andreu Fontas. He had a long time at the back end of last season to transition into the SKC side, and he's slotted into place nicely. It should happen for Horta this season. Carter's mentioned that LAFC beat Vancouver 1-0 in the last preseason game of their preseason, and Horta wasn't involved in that. I'm not sure whether he was injured or not. I haven't seen any instances of him being injured, but he wasn't involved at all, and it was Lee Wynn, Atuesta, Marc-Anthony Kay in the middle of midfield for them. That's a pretty experienced, that's a decent central midfield trio for them, but I'm surprised that Horta's not even getting a look in, didn't even come off the bench, wasn't involved at all. I don't know whether you guys know any more, but it seems that the transition still hasn't been made. Yeah. It's still a rough ride for Horta. And I think, obviously, I know Bob Bradley brought him in hoping that he would be able to make the transition much quicker than he has done.
Anthony Kay is a big name to remember too, because that was a big loss for them in the injury front.
Yeah, played
the
pretty
season.
Much every game up until then. Yeah, and he was kind of the piano carrier in midfield when they have all these really technical, creative players and need someone running around and breaking up play and making tackles and giving the ball back to the likes of Lee Wynn. So yeah, him being back in the team, you would think would help. It does seem like they have high hopes for Horta, and maybe that's why they were comfortable letting Benny Failhaber go in the offseason. They like Atuesta as well. I'm curious up top what they're going to do, bringing in Ramirez in that midseason trade as well. Diamande missed a few games throughout last year, so it's a lot of questions for this LAFC side in their second year, I think.
It's going to be very interesting to see. That's going to do it for us. We're out of time here on the Sporting Kansas City Show, but don't forget, a full hour of pregame coverage coming up on Thursday, starting at 8 o'clock, as we'll get you ready for Sporting KC in Toluca at 9 o'clock kickoff from Toluca, Mexico. Then on Sunday, 7:30 kickoff between Sporting KC and LAFC in the lid lifter of the MLS season of 2019. We are off and running. For Carter Augustine, for Matt Lawrence, and for Gerso, this is Nate Bucati saying thanks for listening, whether it's on Sports Radio 810 WHB, on the 810 app, on Spotify, on iTunes. Subscribe and listen. We appreciate it, and we'll see you next time on the SKC Show.